Good morning. For our Bible reading recommended this morning, I suggest Psalm 23 and James 4, verses 13 to 15. Let us pray. O God, open your word just read to our hearts and our hearts to your word, and give us grace to receive it, to understand it, and to obey it for the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm calling this sermon Patience and Faith. Well, here we are in South Africa in a national state of emergency with all sorts of restrictions and warnings. While we are not at war in the normal sense, but with the rest of the world in combat with Mother Nature, who in this instance is showing the traits of a serial killer. As we look at the closing of schools and universities, cancellations of sporting events, celebrations being rescheduled because gatherings of more than 100 people are prohibited, and even churches closing, the focus of leaders, medical researchers, and ourselves have the objective of finding out what is at the heart of these unprecedented drastic measures that have been taken. What is this virus that we are trying to stop? More personally, what is it that we are afraid might happen? What is it that so many people are worrying? Is there really a reason or an unseen enemy out there that we can't control that is out to get us? I would believe that many of the political leaders of this world should be humbled by the reality that the planet is dealing with something that no army can be deployed to stop, and that stockpiles of nuclear weapons cannot deter it. My objective in this meditation is to ensure that as a community of faith, we are humbled by the reality that we are nowhere near as independent and confident of the control we have over our lives than we thought we did just a couple of weeks ago. Things that we thought were going to be our greatest and happiest moments in watching our favourite sports events like the Super Rugby Championships, going to the theatre or cinema, enjoying a meal at our chosen restaurant, and even the shopping sprees offered by our local shopping malls have gone in an instant like a puff of smoke. Our vacation plans to go overseas or locally have all changed with no input from us. For all the boasting of what we were going to do and how we were going to do it have now been changed. I remember a now deceased elder in this church by the name of Jack Heldenice, who apart from descanting beautifully during the singing of some hymn, would often end his conversation with a statement, "The Lord willing," or "If the Lord wills." Those who heard these added words perhaps did not realize that they were hearing a quote from a biblical author by the name of the Apostle James. It is one of the recommended readings. These words are in fact illustrative of what has happened to us in the past few weeks. And because I know Reverend Heidi is very inspired by contemporary language contained in the publication, The Message of Eugene B. Peterson, I think his translation of James's writing is worth considering. And now I have a word for you who brashly announce, today at the very latest tomorrow, we are off to such and such a city for the year. We are going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, make it a habit to say, if the Master wills it and we're still alive, we'll do this or that. Pondering these comments by the Apostle James should make us distinctly aware that there are things we thought last week that nothing was going to stop us from doing, then all of a sudden we won't be doing because of an announcement by our state president. Jack Heldenice and others of yesterday certainly knew what they were saying when they said, if it be the Lord's will or God willing. Indeed, as the world is facing up to a situation that has bloomed into a crisis, humankind is confronted with issues such as, what can be done by ourselves and our families about the coronavirus in the short term? What will happen if the measures so far taken fail? What are we willing to do or become if this virus continues over many more months than now contemplated? What freedoms will we have to give up permanently? One thing is for sure, humankind in present times must appear to God like sheep scattered on a hill, trying to figure out which direction to run. Sadly, because of the spread of information and disinformation on social media, some sheep are terrified, and their own fear will kill them. As an example, I was talking to a member of our church earlier this week, and she said she was not coming to a church meeting because the virus is spreading around us like a wildfire. This is patently wrong, as the number of people infected in South Africa is just over the 200 mark. Yet this member is sharing the panic like too many of being sheep running in the wrong direction due to misinformation. This brings us back to the aim of this meditation, which is to explore that when the layers of our anxiety are peeled back, what is at the heart of it all? What are we really worrying about? The basic answer to these questions is that we are worrying about the possibility of dying, fear of our own death, or fear of the death of those that we love is our greatest concern. Yet I put it to you that as Christians, as believers, we have the antidote to this fear of death. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." We are in the season of Lent, and it is an apposite time, even if we were not in the midst of this coronavirus, that what we are called upon to really trust, what the events that occurred on Good Friday were about, and what we learn from the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus about death. Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the dead because he knew that unless he made the supreme sacrifice, humankind, including each one of us, was going to die eternally because of sins and the evil in our hearts. He knew that we would be afraid of death because inside we know that what we have so many times done is wrong, and that somehow we were going to give an account of what we have done. The lesson of Lent is to remind us once more that it was out of Jesus' love for us that he gave us the words to remove the fear of eternal death from us. Certainly it is also of significance in this time of fear of the coronavirus that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, and again I use the words from the Message, "Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I am on the way to get a room ready for you? And if I am going on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live." Today, more and more people are being troubled by the fact that I could get this coronavirus and not even know it. They convince themselves that they will be among the small percentage of people that would die. What we need to appreciate in this time is that people can take all kinds of precautions, but they still have little control over what happens. So how should believers respond to any crisis in which the fear of death is out there? It begins with knowing that our hope is always to be rooted in God. Our other recommended Bible reading this morning shows us where we need to begin. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The psalmist is clear that what he wants us to accept is that we are God's sheep and the sheep of his pasture. God knew about the coronavirus 10 years ago, or even 100 or 1,000 years ago. God knew about our days before a single one of them came into being. Nothing has ever caught God by surprise. God did not wake up a couple of weeks ago and say, "I've got to change my plans for the church and for the world because I forgot to take into account the coronavirus spreading in the world in the year 2020. This is not the first virus or plague to enter the world. Have you ever considered the possibility that God wants us to use us Christians to show the world who he is by how we react to the coronavirus? Are we willing to talk to others about what the fear is with the virus? Consider the possibility that all this is taking place within the season of Lent, and probably there is no better time or opportunity for us to raise the topic of death, because that is the underlying cause of all the fear of the coronavirus. And what's there after death? When our friends and co-workers mention how worried they are about what's going to happen next, do we join in with how worried we are too? Or will we remember the words of Jesus, which he said in the Gospel of Matthew? Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Probably what is also being implied by Jesus' words is that we need to ride out this current problem. Instead of living in fear, I suggest there is a better Christian option. I would recommend that what is needed now is patience, or more appropriately, Christian patience. Christian patience occupies a high place in the New Testament list of virtues. Christian patience is not a dull, negative passivity waiting for something to turn up. Far from it. It is a strong, active virtue. It is more like what we mean by endurance and perseverance. It means hanging on tenaciously when the going is tough, carrying on determinedly, even doggedly, while others are giving up the game and the outlook seems hopeless. Psychologists promote the characteristics of being enthusiastic, eager, forceful, and visionary in tough times. It is better when we add to these commendable qualities the equally admirable but less romantic quality of patience. So the objective that is pertinent in this message is that we exercise Christian patience as we wait out the temporary difficulties posed by the restrictions and fears of the coronavirus. It is also noteworthy that it is at times like this that the Christian church becomes more relevant to us, its members. The head of the body, Jesus Christ, who invites us, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Follow me, and I will make you." I cannot think of a better time in this current crisis of coronavirus that we feel our absolute need of Jesus Christ. Certainly, that is the underlying fact of Lent and Easter. The gospel of Jesus Christ is always relevant to all people, at all times, in all places. It is times like this that the church makes itself relevant. Probably in the light of the fearsome changes to life that have occurred in the past couple of weeks, we need to hold fast to the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever until Revelation times. So as we live in this time of coronavirus, and as we wait patiently for this time of crisis to pass, we need to ask ourselves, if the Lord is truly our shepherd, then is not the Lord free to do with his sheep what God thinks is best? As believers, are we to be afraid or even to worry about what the coronavirus might do next? Do we believe that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes? Do we know where our faith is rooted, or is it only there until we run into a crisis? Probably the most important question we need to ask of ourselves in this time is, do we believe Jesus when he tells us that he is the good shepherd? We like to put at the forefront that Psalm 23 means that Jesus is always going to surround us with good things that will make us comfortable in life. He's going to lead us to cause us to lie down in green pastures where there is plenty of food for us to eat and be happy. That Jesus will take us where the water is calm and peaceful so that we can drink and it's not splashing back in our faces. Yes, we will enjoy the still and quiet waters. But while those good things are important, what we choose so often to forget is that it is not the only place that Jesus leads us, and that's not the only role Jesus has for us. The psalmist draws our attention to also having to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or walking through the darkest of valley. We must face the fact that in this life there are all kinds of valleys the shepherd leads us through. The valley of sickness, the valley of loneliness, the valley of pain and suffering, the valley of broken dreams or unfulfilled promises, the valley of unemployment and homelessness, the valley of the loss of a skill or talent, and the valley of the death of someone we love. And in these recent days, the valley of a coronavirus. What we are learning very much in the current situation is that in all these valleys, we have no control over the events of life which slide us into those valleys, whether we are willing to go or not. Finally, the questions posed to us in the season of Lent with the added problem of the coronavirus are, how does God expect to use us in response to the worry and fear that has spread through our nation and the world? Will we see this as an opportunity to reach out and serve those who are affected in this situation, directly or indirectly? Will we show a confidence in Christ for our future that the world has not known by not joining in the panic? Will we become bolder in our witness of God actually being in charge of our lives? In order that we have our answers to these problems, let us, with the psalmist, conclude, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me in the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let us always celebrate what God has done for us and what He will do for us, even with the coronavirus around us. I still believe God is sitting on the throne of heaven, and God's plans and purposes will still be accomplished. Amen. I will close with a prayer that have been composed by another church to the problem of the coronavirus. Let us pray. Dear Creator of the world, we come before you asking your mercy on us to halt the spread of the coronavirus. We pray for those already infected with the coronavirus that they may receive prompt, effective, and compassionate medical care that will restore them to health. We pray your protection and grace for all medical professionals who are courageously treating those infected with the coronavirus. May they be shielded, strengthened, and guided as they administer healing treatments and care. We pray your protection over those most vulnerable to disease, for our babies, our children, our elders, our poor, disabled, and those weakened by other health conditions. We pray for those under quarantine that they may be comforted by your presence and protected from disease, anxiety, and fear. We pray for our public health care leaders and government agencies that they might be informed and well prepared as they deal with the coronavirus. Grant them the resources and manpower they need to use their wisdom in the best interests of public health. We pray for the researchers who are tracking the course of the coronavirus. May they uncover patterns that will help us understand how to stay healthy. We pray for those searching for treatments, cures, and vaccines. May you guide them, reveal new ideas, and accelerate their discoveries to fight this disease. We pray for the community, areas, and countries hardest hit by the coronavirus. Restore their sense of well-being and community. Sustain them, comfort them, and give them hope. We pray for all whose lives are disrupted by the coronavirus. We pray for families who have been separated and for those whose livelihoods have been jeopardized. We look to you, O God, praying that the spread of the coronavirus will be halted and that many lives might be spared. We pray that through this crisis you may draw us closer to you, grow our compassion, and increase our knowledge. Thank you that you are the great physician who not only heals us, but who is a very present help in our time of need, as the Bible tells us that you took up all our infirmities and carried our diseases. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen. And as a benediction, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Amen.